Man, what is happening, y'all? All right, we are live with The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock. This is a pitching podcast, and this is our first episode live on YouTube. It's also on Twitter. So make sure if you're watching this on Twitter, go to our YouTube channel, The Craft Pitching Podcast, where all these episodes will be moving forward. And guess what? My special guest this week, I know, I can't believe that he actually answered my call this week. It is Eno Saris. Eno, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you too. Yeah. And then my child that is upstairs has one more day before he is out of my hair and back at school.
Oh, man. Wow. Oh, right. That's what happens right now. This is a big thing. I've actually been talking about with Samulski and stuff, and like, how does it affect the baseball season and everything? And congratulations.
Yeah, I took my other son. He's at school today for his first day, the older one.
Okay.
Snail versus Sale. So I went and saw Snail.
Saul versus Snail.
We saw Sale versus Snell, and we got for like $45, 30 rows behind home plate.
Oh my gosh.
Monday night.
And so that is so good.
We got to see those release points, you know?
Yeah.
And my son loves Snell. So it was really cool seeing the super over the top and then the super sideways. And we could see the movement of the pitches. It reminded me of when I was growing up in Atlanta. And I got to see Maddux and Glavine and Smoltz from behind home plate a little bit. And so he lit up and he had a great day.
This wasn't the first time you saw Sale behind home plate, right?
Snell.
No, but have you seen Sale behind home plate before?
This might have been the first time, like in the seats for sure. But the one thing that's really cool about Giants games, they have the best press box in the big leagues.
Oh, yeah?
It is like literally behind home plate. So you get to see the movement on the pitches.
It's low. It's not above.
Yeah, it's really low.
Oh, man, that's prime seating.
I mean, someday I just expect to like come to find out that they've moved us somewhere. But it's the best press box in baseball. So it was really fun to see it with him. And we were trying to project like, oh, what's he going to throw now? You know, fastball curve. You know, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And just geeking out on those two pitchers, which are really, really good pitchers. And it was a good day. And so today with the younger son, we're going to one of those ramen places where you have to wait in line. so that's what he gets for.
There it is, of course. and by the way, I think I want to say like in 2016 or something like that, when Sale was on the White Sox, I have a friend of mine who's here in New York, big White Sox fan, known since college. And he was able to get like behind home plate tickets for us for a Sale Yankee game. I think Soriano hit a home run in this one.
And the thing is,
the two-seamer, you don't really understand how that looks. That really just looks like a complete last minute, no, this is not going straight at all kind of pitch. Because if you come at it from that angle, it really is just straight until eventually it's just like, absolutely not. The initial force of it is there, and then it just takes over with the spin. I mean, imagine
his pitch
movement, it does.
And his pitch movement numbers don't fully line up with what the experience is behind the plate, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because of his arm angle, you know, when you look at the pitch movements, you're like, oh, he doesn't throw a sweeper. But when you stand behind home plate and you see him throw that slider back foot to righties, it looks like a sweeper. It looks like the longest thing you've ever seen. Yeah. Just like this long, like just the craziest thing. And so he's throwing that thing, and then he's throwing something that looks exactly like that, that then goes the other direction.
Yeah.
So it's almost sinker slider, but for some reason it's not as platoon splitty as you'd expect. And
it's bonkers because I think what happens with Sale's slider specifically, that unbelievable horizontal movement, especially at that arm angle too, where it's already so far away. The number of times I've seen batters just completely give up on that slider and then come back door for a strike is insane. And it's kind of fun. I was thinking about this where I talk about it with the right-handers throwing sweepers, so lefties, and they try to do backdoor, but it doesn't really work. And I think it's because a lot of them aren't really the extreme of Sale so far away.
They're doing it mechanically rather than sort of naturally out of the arm slot, I think.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're manipulating the ball a little bit. to get those sweeper movements.
Right.
And so I think that makes it harder to, when you're manipulating the ball, I think it makes it harder. A lot of the best pitches you hear, you know, in terms of command, in terms of nastiness, are the pitcher saying, well, I just throw it like my fastball and let the grip do everything.
I mean, Mariano Rivera's cutter was just whatever. I don't know.
The other thing that really stood out for me, watching Snell behind home plate was, I'd read recently that, that is supposedly a more stressful arm slot, you know, for mechanics.
Interesting.
And, and so him and Snell were both throwing 97.
Right. Right.
But, supposedly it was less stressful, for Snell in his slot.
This was
you know,
thing,
who's been more injured in the past, you know,
with Sale, I remember this a lot with the White Sox. I mean, that was also the popular time of the W, you know, and Sale was one of them and how he's throwing and everything. But I remember this distinctly. Sale was the guy that reportedly could fit himself inside of a box. Like, he was so flexible.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I'm thinking about this a lot. You know, in the future, I hope to be really working more with youth development, essentially. And what is the number one thing I think about myself when pitching? I see a lot of these guys and think about extension, think about just general health of moving these really muscular limbs. It's flexibility. The guys who are most flexible are generally healthier, I would think. And it doesn't surprise me to hear that with Sale. It doesn't surprise me that Aaron Judge has a really healthy or a healthier season this year when he's really moved into yoga and stuff. Arrieta talked about that for himself. I really do believe that it's really easy in a sport dominated by men to say like, oh yeah, it's gotta be muscles. I don't want to do yoga. I get that. I think that's changing a little. Hopefully it is. And the benefits of that, I think, are really big. And it's how Sale is able to, I don't know, not be as injured as he could have been from that arm slot.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few people who've thrown 97 from that arm slot. Like,
oh my gosh, you know,
Randy Johnson and him, so maybe.
He wasn't doing that too. We don't appreciate this from Sale. Like, this is not just standard Sale. He hasn't been this way since like 2018.
Right. So there's been some recovery too. I do have some healthy respect for pitching development in Atlanta. I also sat down with Spencer Schwellenbach and he ran me through his arsenal, and I'll post that video soon.
Oh, but, man.
You know, they're doing some kind of interesting things in Atlanta. For one, talking to Grant Holmes and Schwellenbach and seeing that Sale's been, you know, velo's been good and the health has been good. I think one thing that they're doing in Atlanta is shorter bullpen sessions in between starts.
Wasn't that a thing with the Red Sox too?
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. There's someone else. Maybe it was here. Maybe it was with Renee Decker talking about this, but this is the second time I've heard this.
The way that it was promoted to me by Holmes and Schwellenbach in particular was, I need to practice these pitches at 100%.
Yeah.
This is something we heard from Joe Ryan about his splitter. He was like, I was practicing my splitter in bullpens and it looked one way. And then I got in the game and was throwing 100% and it looked a whole nother way. And it just wasn't working. So what they've done is I crap you not, they're boiling it down to 15 or 16 pitches.
Doesn't surprise me.
Their bullpens in between starts. That's a really low number. I've heard 30 or 40 in the past.
Right,
that's
right.
At least half of, and I think, you know, even some others do more than that. And so, you know, the idea used to be that you need to kind of keep that 80 or that 100 pitches in you. And so you need to do like sort of half that, you know,
to
kind of keep it going. But they're like, no, I'm just practicing shapes and certain things that I want to do. Schwellenbach was like, you know, glove side fastball. I need to practice glove side fastball. He in particular, what's interesting is that he's actually trying to kill the horizontal on his four seam because he has a lower release and he's trying to have that low flat, you know,
right.
And if he has this kind of release where if he lets it go normally, it'll be like a two seamer. And yeah, that'll be what hitters see the slot. And they say, this is going to be a two seamer. It's going to go like this.
Mm.
And so he's trying to kill it. So he's throwing a fastball that has a little bit of cut, but he also,
he certainly absolutely is at that, which is kind of why upstairs I'm a little weirded out by it from him,
but he also throws a cutter.
Yeah. Well, right. That is a true, like it's a dip cut for the four seamer, but it's a true horizontal ride cut. On the cutter.
And then he throws a slider.
Yeah, the slide. It's a proper bridge pitch, that cutter. Yeah.
But he agreed with me that for Spencer, and I'm glad that we loved him so much to begin with, and he's pitching so well. I mean, he had the two starts in a row. It was like 22 strikeouts and zero walks and two strikes and two starts. So like he's killing it. At least we were right about one thing on this podcast.
Yes.
He says he's got the slider. He says the foundation is the four seam and slider. So his bullpens are four seam cutter curve.
Well, what's interesting is he also has a splitter that he just shows up with sometimes.
Yeah. He said that one is just sometimes it's there and sometimes not. And
that's the thing. What do you know? Splitters are volatile, guys. Oh my gosh. Crazy.
But you can get with somebody who has it as like their fourth option, right?
That's what I'm saying. I know. It's just like it's a common thing. And actually, with Joe Ryan, I wanted to really hit on that because it makes all the sense in the world that if you're throwing a splitter of all pitches at different velocities or different strengths, that is very much of a you can over grip a splitter or not, right? Mm-hmm. And the intensity on release. If you're squeezing it too much, that changes everything with it.
And that's what he was saying, that like even in my shorter, higher intensity bullpens, I'm still only at like 80%. And
yeah, so right.
Practicing
right.
the splitter still doesn't make a lot of sense. And there's no way I'm gonna get to game day stress levels in my bullpen because it's not that environment. It's like there's nobody yelling, you know. It's like I'm just in a bullpen.
Oh man.
So anyway.
It's wild.
You know, he also ran me through that he has improved the curveball. If you notice the last two starts, the curveball's been better. He's been using it more. He switched his grip. He's spiking the thing. And that's why his bullpen sessions are fastball, cutter, curve. Because those are the pitches he's working on. The fastball and the cutter, he has to keep separate. You know, his fastball, he's cutting a little bit. But, you know, anyway, that was not the wildest thing I heard that day.
What was that?
The wildest thing I heard that day was when I went and talked to Grant Holmes.
Oh, yeah. The real estate broker, because he grants homes.
So ready to have children. This is the wildest thing I ever heard. So, he sees me run through this whole thing with Spencer Schwanbeck and, you know, because they're locker mates. And I'm like, hey, if you've got time for me, too, like, I want to talk to you, too.
That's the best. Oh my gosh.
And he was like, and I was like, listen, I was looking at your minor league and it was, and he's like, long. And I was like, So one thing that I really noticed is your strikeout rate just like went through the roof when you got to Atlanta. Like what did you do differently that you weren't doing in Oakland for 6+ years? It's almost like 7 years with Oakland. Right? This is the wildest thing I've ever heard. We tried a slider.
As in, like, he didn't have one before?
What?
What? When does that happen?
What?
I mean, you know what? Okay. I have a very simple explanation for this, Eno. Very simple. It's Oakland who doesn't invest.
Oakland. That's right? The answer. It's Oakland.
They just let them do whatever.
Yes.
And they don't have like, okay, cool. Let's do, like every company does with their products or their staff. They go, okay, cool. Let's do some performance reviews. What are the things that we should be doing here? Flip this over. Oh, wow. Lots of previous performance reviews because you've been in the minors so long.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's insane though. How is that not just like the first, you're a right-hander. Can you throw a slider? That is not the conversation.
I couldn't. I was like, I said some expletive Oakland, and he goes, "Yep."
Wow. Like, so how's he? Okay, so what kind of slider did they teach him? How's he feel with it? Did you get any of that?
So it's a regular boring ass slider. It's two fingers on the thing.
It's it's on the horseshoe bottom of it. Yeah.
I didn't even take a picture of it. I was like, what?
Did he just throws it over the top like a fastball and just like, there you go, it's done?
I mean, it's a little bit to the side. Like it's just a slider. Yeah, here's I think gym. So what I don't to so let's you always want to give grace because there's a real people in these jobs trying their hardest. Sure. You know. I think
funded.
The idea was to some extent that he had a good curve and maybe he didn't want to blend the slider in the curve. So they taught mm-hmm. him a cutter and he still throws the cutter some.
Yeah.
But it still boggles the mind that they wouldn't have tried a slider. And the reason we're laughing, if you're not catching on, is that this is a slider league. Like 90% of the league throws a slider.
Yeah,
you know, it seems to be almost step one for like, do you want to be a big leaguer? You got to have a slider.
You know, like that's the only pitcher I can really think of that has a lot of success that doesn't throw a slider is Aaron Nola. That's the only, and that's a cutter. You know,
yeah,
he's, like maybe there's even a sleeper in there at times too. It's just like I can't. No,
I do want to jump into that section. The real this is to finish off Grant's story where
please.
So he's got this good curveball and so they're teaching him a cutter, and then he comes to Atlanta and one of the things they do is make him a reliever,
mm-hmm.
and I think this was really intentional. So they make him a reliever. And the first series with Atlanta, he's a reliever, and all he throws are fastballs and sliders. So he's not even throwing his bread and butter curveball that he thought would get him to the big leagues. He's not even throwing that.
Oh my gosh.
What he does is he gets a velo boost from relieving.
Okay.
And then they move him back to starting, and he holds on to some of that velo boost.
That's curious.
I think it's because it's sort of a mindset where, like, when you're relieving, you're like, I'm going to throw as hard as I can until they take the ball away from me, right? And I think what they did was sort of jog that mindset so that when he's starting, he still has that, I'm just going to throw as hard as I can until they take the ball from me.
Right. So, I mean, obviously the negative, the other reason that doesn't always happen is because A, you burn out quicker, and B, we don't want max effort for so many pitches, right?
I know, but I think also when you're dealing with somebody who is like 28 and like hasn't made it to the big leagues
great
yet,
point. Yeah.
You're kind of like,
got nothing to lose. Let's just see how long I can hold this. Yeah.
Yeah. What if you're the starter for 50 innings at the beginning of the season and you're a reliever for 50 innings at the end of the season, whatever, you know, like we'll take whatever we can get.
Totally.
You're a better pitcher now that you've spent a whole season throwing this slider,
right?
You know, and averaging 94 plus. So now, you know, as a starter, he's closer to 94 ish, you know, and he's got a real slider. And now he brings back the curveball that he's always had. And underlying it, as he agreed, was a good sense of command. Like
this is something that I think we've highlighted or talked about a lot with guys is there's a lot of these rookies that come up and we get really excited, but like, are they actually someone that is going to be consistent enough to really stick around for a long time? Right. Kind of still out on, or jury's still out for me on, like, say Spencer Arrighetti. Because he has those flashes of it's great, but I don't know if you can really throw enough strikes with the secondary still and the four seamer and actually get four seamer where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
The with Hayden Birdsong, the jury is back and I'm like, I cannot trust this guy. He's going to have moments, but I don't feel this way. You had something on him too.
Most bizarre thing that I saw this week. It's Hayden Birdsong's changeup grip.
Oh, right. Does he have a change? I guess he did. He showed a couple of them. Oh, it's a spiked changeup.
He calls it the kickstand.
Oh my gosh.
Wait. Okay. So he's doing this.
Yeah.
It's like a circle change. So he's got the circle over here.
A little bit further along.
Yeah, a little like here, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So his point was that he's such an aggressive two-finger breaking ball guy. Oh,
that's the middle finger spiking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, I get it. I see it now.
So idea is he's such an aggressive two-finger guy that he needs to kickstand that finger to get it off the ball too.
Oh my gosh. What?
And can you imagine, you know, he throws it like 83 miles an hour. Can you imagine throwing that pitch 83 miles an hour?
First of all, I personally could never get behind any of the spiked stuff. It never worked for me. Mm. It's also kind of why I never really liked knuckleball. Essentially doing anything that's this coming out is just wrong to me. It just doesn't, it needs to just glide. I don't want to be thinking about those things. Well, for him, so maybe he's just don't touch it. Yeah.
Here's the thing though. I think a lot of times with the knuckling and stuff, the idea is almost the same as this.
Yeah. Right.
I asked him,
doing this. Yeah.
Cause Matt Latos used to have a changeup grip called the Critter where he flicked it.
The Critter.
Yeah. And he flicked it. It also had some sort of,
I would think like
you're not allowed to like, say on TV.
Well, chitter, I would say chitter. But I know you're going to probably replace the first letter.
But Hayden Bernstein was saying that like with that kickstanded thing, he's just trying to get the. I can't even hold it.
Like, I know, like, man, what? That is a thing.
Like you're pulling this finger off and then also kickstanding this one. Like it's like some
also
weird
the index finger. You're kickstanding that guy too.
No, the index finger is off in a circle.
Oh yeah, it's a circle change, guys. If you're listening right now, what Eno's showing, this is why you got to look at the YouTube video these days now because we're live. It's a circle change, a two seam grip. Just think of it like that, two seam grip. You have it over, and then you bring up your middle finger. Essentially,
I don't even have the flexibility in the fingers to do it. Really,
I have, as you can see, guys. I can get my fingers around the ball pretty easily.
Oh wow!
I've got mitts. All right, this is what do you know? I was a pitcher. Shocking. More at 11.
But his idea was like, and a lot of the idea, like with AJ Burnett's knuckle curve, and a lot of that's the one I've taught my son is just to get that finger out of the way.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily you're doing anything with that spiked finger. And some people think you have to like dig that spiked finger in. No, it's a little bit more about sort of resting it. That's why people call it a knuckle curve. It's not that you're doing anything with the knuckle, you're just sort of resting. Right. It's almost the same thing as Adam Wainwright's, you know, pointing the finger in the sky.
Well, that's the first curveball that everyone learns. If you're unfamiliar, you have your index finger and your middle finger in between. And then actually, I'm so sorry, the middle finger is the one going on the seam, the index finger is before, and then as you release, it's called popping the gun, where you push your finger forward. You pop the gun.
I didn't know that was a sort of a basic approach, but I think
for both,
the idea is get the index finger out of the way.
Exactly. Which is so stupid because the index finger is the most important finger. I don't care. I couldn't do anything without the index finger. It was like, that's the one that like I get the most nerves and sensory information from. I can't not use this thing.
Well, either way, those are the two most bizarre things that I heard this week. And it did set me thinking about this sort of the process of adding a new pitch. I mean,
right. So let's do that. Let's talk about a little bit of guys that are missing a slider. Can maybe add one. We have some from the comments, which is awesome. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. So we have actually from the chat here, you know, as we transition to this, I love this topic of like, who are those guys that actually could unlock what we think are pretty much the best pitch in baseball is a slider. Like, I think it's bar none. It is more important for right-handers. I think you'd agree with that than lefties, which does bring up a little bit of the tweet I put out yesterday, which I think is obvious. It's just, I feel like I needed to say it out loud more, is that if you're a lefty, a changeup to me, elite changeup is more important than an elite slider because you're dealing with right-handers more.
Splits, yeah.
Right. And it just makes sense. And you look at all the elite lefties, like a lot of them, Tarek Skubal and Cole Reagan's, you had Max Fried's amazing 2 years with a changeup. You have Blake Snell's changeup waking up. I mean, it's a big reason for a lot of these guys having success. And even Tyler Anderson this year,
I'm looking at the list of pitchers without sliders, and there's a fair amount of lefties near the top. And you've got Jose Quintana, known for his curve and change, you've got James Paxton, who used to have
the cutter slider thing. That was
the hard vicious. Cutter slider thing. Yeah. It's now gone, which is part of why I'm surprised that Boston even tried to trade it for him.
Sinkers. They actually threw him with sinkers, by the way, and it worked kind of.
Ty Block and Ryan Yarbrough, who were very close to the same person.
Yeah, Yarbrough is this cutter guy. So, yeah,
but like, and also both have change ups and soft tossing, and barely in baseball. Jalen Beeks, change up. Trevor Richards is a right hander. Yes. But if you take the Nick Lodolo. is kind of interesting, not having a slider. But
well, right, is that slider really a curveball? It's like it's like the Rich Hill and Chris Sale thing. You have such a low arm angle where you essentially throw a curveball grip from there, you know, and it's just the arm angle that makes it like a slider, right?
Yeah, I guess, you know, on the righty side, this is where, you know, this is where my eyebrow raises. And you're right. Aaron Nola's on there and he's added the cutter recently, but the curve is just a really strong pitch for him. He, so Aaron Nola, Charlie Morton, Adam Wainwright, that seems to be like an archetype.
Yeah,
they absolutely never really had a good slider. Even their cutters were, I mean, Wainwright had an okay cutter, but it was more like his fastball. Than a slider.
You know, so, there's one guy who had, it was just like pure curveball for a while that we really liked. Had like one of the hardest ones, and that was Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
And I remember
he added a slider eventually.
Well, here's the thing. So Alex and I, early in January 2023, we did talking pitching with him. I still think I have the video of it. We didn't put it out. But we were like, hey, tell us about the slider. Like, how are you throwing this thing? And what he'd said, essentially, is a sweeper. But guys, I can't believe what I saw. And it's like one of those times where you get a player to tell you something and you're just like nodding, like, oh yeah, cool, cool, cool. And it's just like, you're like, you're dying inside as he says it, right?
And sort of like me looking at Birdsong's changeup grip, like, what?
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's like, okay, if that works for you, awesome.
Yeah. Right.
What he said was, I do this, I have this, and then I released it like I'm throwing a pizza. And I go, I'm sorry, what? You're like, so like you're turning your wrist completely,
palm
up, going across. Goes, yeah, that's it. Wow. And I'm like, I'm just holding it all back because I'm like, well, that elbow's done. when I mean, look, I'm not the guy that's like, oh, injury done. Okay, every single guy is going to get hurt, all that kind of stuff. Fine. There are some pretty absolute truths, I think. One is if you throw a legitimate screwball, there's no way doing this on release is going to be fine in the long term. And to me, by the way, screwball to me is if you have a screwball like this, you literally have to reverse it to do like the walk the Egyptian thing to be able to throw it. Braden
said that his surgeon said it was the worst shoulder he'd seen.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that that's the ultra pronating side. And then the ultra supinating side is like when old guys, when you're like 12 or 13, you see you throw a breaking ball, so you're gonna throw out your arm. That's what they mean, that you're like literally twisting your wrist too much on release. And that's just what he's doing in front of me. He's like doing this. I'm like, why? I
think there's probably a biomechanical reason that it's not a good idea, because, you know, basically in your forearm, a lot of this, like the when you talk about flexor strains and why that leads to Tommy John, is that the flexor mass and a lot of this stuff in your forearm is there to protect your elbow. It's like taking stress away from the elbow ligament, because the way that I understand it from the piece that I did about the, you know, how hard can we absolutely throw, you know, we're at that point right now. And they were talking about, you know, the stress that we're putting on the UCL tears in cadavers. Right. And he's like, well, the reason why it doesn't tear every single time they throw this hard is because in a cadaver, you're just like, you're just holding the cadaver's thing, putting a weight on it, being like, oops, torn, you know. Whereas in your body, you know, your even your bones will take some of the stress. Your bones, your other muscles, your other ligaments.
Did we see that? Did we see like an arm fracture once from someone? And that was just by throwing?
Yeah, the Rays guy who like threw a ball in his arm fractured.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to think about that again. I'm so sorry. But here's actually a thing everyone can do at home. Is put your arm out straight. Just put your arm out straight and put your other hand over your elbow. Inside where the, you know, inside here. Just put it out straight. And then now make it so that your palm is up and just go back and forth. And then now just twist without turning your forearm. You will feel your ligament like
moving around, popping around. Yeah.
It's just like you're doing that stress every time. I see how tight it is all of a sudden. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Don't do this. Do not. Oh gosh. So that's sorry. That was Lance McCullers. So, I mean,
that speaks to some of the injuries across baseball, and sort of one of the fundamental problems is that the slider is really good. And how do you achieve a good slider without doing all that? You know, you right. want to have a good slider that you're not super stressing yourself out because you're going to throw it 30% of the time in this league, you know? And right. The guys who haven't done it, who have been successful, I think the easiest rule of thumb is, do they have an elite curveball?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I think, so I think that the people that don't have an elite curveball and don't have a slider and are right-handed that are young is a short list. And Taj Bradley is on top of it.
Just yeah, this is actually the first on one brought here. This is Kyle Bland saying no slider for Taj Bradley.
Oh,
now, yeah. The thing is that he does have a cutter, though.
And he uses it a little bit like a slider.
Right. He's very much like a, I mean, my interpretation is, here's my four seamer. I'm going to throw it like, I'm going to throw the cutter like a four seamer and try to play off of it. What I've noticed is that this year, with Taj Bradley going from four seamer, cutter, curve, has essentially just gone, okay, I'm going to throw the splitter now as my number two instead. And I normally would be like, I don't know, but he's been able to get over 60% strikes on the splitter more times than not. And he's pulled back on the cutter. And I feel like the cutter doesn't do enough to be different, or at least it's obvious enough when mm-hmm. he throws it, because this cutter, it's not the Kodai Senga. Like, he could be just a mimic of Kodai Senga, Taj Bradley, right? I mean, with the worst command of a splitter, fine. But the four-seamer, as far as chaos goes, and then pairing with that cutter inside the zone, that could work. But yeah, something has to be tweaked here. And I think you're right, and you're onto something. They're like, I don't think this cutter is the answer. Maybe if he does go to a more traditional slider approach, it would be better.
Yeah. I just love Taj Bradley's fastball shape so much. And like,
oh, it's so good.
I just want him to be able to add to that. And yeah. I think it'll happen. And it's definitely the type of player that I want to sort of bet on. But you know, we've talked a lot about another guy on this list. He is a lefty, but Kyle Harrison, like if he had a legit slider, I think he'd still be better than what he is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sat through his start last night, and it is a little bit like sitting through a start, because it's just fastball after fastball with poor command, and hitters just eventually, somebody, you know, puts the right swing on the fastball at the right time.
Right. It was interesting to see him be a little bit better with changeups down yesterday.
Yeah, he did some more of those.
Right. And yeah, like the world that I see with Kyle Harrison is like slowly and steadily, he's getting a little bit more precise with that four seamer in the zone. The curve, he just can't extend down on it. I don't know what it is. Every single curve is just up in arm side. He cannot hold on to that thing long enough.
I've heard that he is not a good pronator, which I think actually can affect your curveball.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's a pronating pitch, right?
All right. Supinating is a changeup. Yeah, he's not a good pronator. So,
is that right? Wait, did I get that right? No, pronating is, you're right. Pronating is changeup.
Pronating is changeup,
I think of curveball as closer to pronating. Pronating, I feel like you're on the side of it. Curve, you have to stay true, you know? And right, a changeup, as it relates, you do want to stay true. So I think of it more as a pronating, but it probably is more of a supinating. I'm just being dumb. Well,
just generally, he's not good at something because he's breaking balls. Because breaking ball is not good either, right?
Yeah,
ball and changeup's not good either. So if his changeup's not good and he says he's not a good pronator, then that might make sense. But if he was a good supinator, then he would have a slider. So,
right.
You know, there's something missing with Kyle Harrison, and I'm just not sure it's going to be there. But Taj Bradley, at least the story is that he hasn't been pitching as long and... Mm. You know, he's kind of coming into his own. Spencer Schwalenbach, as an example, did not pitch in college until junior year.
Oh, wow.
So there's a little bit of that with him, too. How about Dean Kramer?
Like, oh, man.
Give Dean Kramer a great slider instead of the okay cutter he throws.
Oh, but the cutter is how he gets through games.
I know. Are we just going to call that his slider?
It isn't a slider. I mean, what's important to understand, I think what you're really trying to, elucidate is that sliders are how you excel, right?
You really can't.
Yeah. As a right-hander, it is so hard to find a elite pitcher who just doesn't have a slider that's really dependable. Right.
Good for action and for called strikes, because you can do both things with it. Whereas a cutter is a little bit closer to called strikes and weak contact. It's not as good for whiffs. If you just look at, you know, sort of pitch type splits, you'll see that the cutter doesn't get as many whiffs.
It's why we're okay with guys like Jared Jones and Spencer Strider with four seamer slider, because it's just like, whatever. Hunter Green, like, sliders are amazing. Four seamers are amazing. To me, those are the two best pitches to be elite at.
Closest, you know, and if it's a power slider, they're the two closest pitches to being platoon neutral, you know.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, right. Great point. Dean Kramer, man. Kramer is just, I watch him and it's like one night, he's like, cool, here's cutters here, here's four seamers here, here's a splitter working, here's kitchen sink, except for, I guess, a slider. And that works sometimes. And that's
another night, how like, I wish you had a dominant pitch that you could throw for a whip.
Yeah, I wish you. Yeah, exactly.
That was your four seamer cutter, you know?
You know who's also likely on that list? I mean, I guess this, so it's interesting. We are obviously distinguishing between a sweeper and a slider. I mean, slider, I guess these days it's more gyro, right?
I've just used the Fangraphs board, which actually doesn't split them yet. I think it will in the future,
right? So the reason I bring that up is like, I hear, oh yeah, you need a dominant pitch to kind of take over, and
you could have a sweeper and still need a slider, I guess,
right? Yeah. And I think Cutter Crawford kind of is like that.
Oh, he has everything around a good slider,
right? Four seamer, cutter, sweeper. Sometimes the splitter shows up, whatever. Sometimes the curveball, whatever. But it's those three. And watching him, a thing that I've kind of said the entire year, but it felt like he's a common, hey, look, if I have all three, I'm amazing. I'm great. Mm-hmm. If everything's working with each other, that's great. If there are any cracks in any of it, I don't feel that two of those are good enough as, you know, you need that third piece. And he doesn't have like that pitch he turns to. He doesn't have like, oh, cool, I'm in a jam right now, first and second, you know, two outs in the sixth. I need to get this guy out. What am I throwing? I'm going to throw like three sliders in a row. It's like, we've seen that from guys before. I'm like, who cares? I got this. He doesn't have that. The cutter is there for called strikes or whatever. The four seamer sometimes gets that whiff upstairs, but if you don't get it past that guy, okay. Then maybe they chase a sweeper. Maybe it's good enough in that one moment. I don't know. But you need that slider. It's just like, no, man, I'm burning you with this right now.
And then the sweeper doesn't help you against lefties as much. So then you become fastball cutter. You become more predictable. Maybe the curve is like really, really a third pitch for him. I mean, there's something going on. And another thing, and you know, I'll write this piece eventually, but in this league, hitters are sitting slider more often. And so I think with cutter, that's sitting cutter, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting cutter, you know, against him and you're a lefty and you're not going to see the sweeper, you can sit cutter, maybe adjust curve, fight off four seam and have success against him, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Is there someone else that you want to bring up that might benefit?
Well, how about Zebby Matthews? Because,
thing,
I mean, I thought it was great.
I had to talk about him. We got to talk about Matthew Boyd too. We're going to talk about both of those guys after this break. So as I rudely interrupted, you know, there, we have to talk about Zebby Matthews. I wanted to do this today. If you're watching on YouTube, you see already I put Zebby Matthews as the title. Was not going to let this happen without talking about Zebby. Tell me what you saw here, you know, last night in his MLB debut for the Twins.
Well, I think what I saw was a sweeper that has been separated out from a cutter or power slider. He had a really nice looking 89, 90 mile an hour hard slider.
Yeah.
I think that's why how he sort of fits into this conversation is he Cutter Crawford with a four seam cutter sweeper curve, you know, or is that a legit power slider? He got some really nice whiffs off of it. Against lefties separating that power slider cutter thing from the sweeper apparently was a big step forward him in his development.
It's interesting. So you're calling it a sweeper though, at the 86 mile per hour slider.
Yeah.
So,
did it register?
I don't know. I mean, so we have, you can check it out. I put it on Twitter. I asked it from Kyle and he actually, this is how Kyle Bland works. Everyone. I said, oh, hey, I know we have this minor league app where we can look up individual pitchers from AAA and their pitch types, but I don't have one for like the whole, like all five of them on like the pitch plot of movement. Can you send me Zebby Matthews? It goes, hey, hold on one second. So what you did, you just added it for literally everyone. So now you have it in minor leagues. Now you can look up AAA whole movement charts for all of them. And looking at it, the slide, I mean, traditionally when I see a sweeper, I'm thinking like a negative 10 to 15 or so on the x-axis, and like pretty even on the y, a zero or so above or below.
10 is 10.
And
is
this
the
wasn't that. Yeah, it was around, the minor league one was around zero or so, or like maybe negative five at most. Okay. Where the cutter was above that in maybe like plus one, plus two. Then the four seamers.
So he's definitely throwing a cutter and a power gyro.
Yeah, 87 gyro or so. That cutter, I love this cutter. Oh my gosh, I love this cutter. Him against Bobby Witt in the first inning, even the second at bat of the game.
Yeah, I tweeted something from the third or fourth at bat where he just got he threw the cutter 90 miles an hour in on the hands of a lefty, and they were just it blew him up.
And the thing is, he did the same thing to MJ Melendez, and I'm like, as he's throwing it, the glove is right there on the inside edge to a lefty, executes it perfectly. It's 90-91, this cutter. I see Melendez hit it. I'm like, oh, what a great pitch. This is a can of corn out. Destroys it right center field. Gone. And I'm like, what? I literally said, wow, what a great pitch.
I still have hope for Melendez as a hitter. I know this is a pitching podcast, but I still have hope for him as a hitter just because he has the raw talent. It's you see it in moments like that, but he has minus approach. Like, he probably shouldn't have even swung at that pitch.
You know what I mean? It was actually like a borderline strike, right? Okay. But maybe you don't want to still swing at it because generally you're not going to
normally get sawed off by it, right?
Right. And the thing is, Adam Frazier swung at a similar 1-2-2 later on that came a little bit further in off the plate.
That might have been the one that I think that was the one.
Oh my gosh,
it was so good.
Love it.
And I knew that you would love Zebby Matthews because I was looking at his location values, and they are above average for four of his five pitch types. And so you have a foundational above average to good. I don't know if there's an elite pitch in there yet. We'll still have to see.
Yeah. No, but I agree with you there.
Above average four seam slider cutter, and then he commands the curve and the sinker well. So it all works together in concert, I think. So
yeah. The changeup is something that it wasn't quite there yet. There were times he got on the side of it too much. Fine. I just gotta get Pablo to teach it to him, obviously. But with what we normally see in MLB debuts are guys who are not polished yet. They are more stuff focused, or if they are command guys, they usually have like one of them working. And they're really wrestling a lot. There's a lot of adrenaline. And what I saw today looked like a veteran almost, of just like, oh yeah, no, I've been here before. I know what I'm doing. I'm putting this over here. I'm doing this over here. And even when he would make mistakes, because he certainly did that, the slider was bounced multiple times by Zebby Matthews. He then adjusted it and he came back. And like, I remember one at bat, actually, it was 0-0. He threw a slider. He spiked it 1-0, spiked it again. So he said, fine. And he dotted 95 on the outside edge, like just down and away, perfect 2-0 to 2-1. It's like, all right, fine. Okay, let me recalibrate. Okay. And like, you don't see that. What you see in the next pitch is just a random fastball somewhere in the zone. Not like, all right, fine. Here's a good fastball. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Next, you know, that kind of guy throwing what we saw as above average metrics on pitch shape across the board, even from release, like 1.1 height adjusted VAA around 16 inches of vert. Slightly above average extension, like 6'7", 6'8", at 95, 96, which might come down, but that's kind of what the report was too, was for Zebby. And that was his whiff pitch in the minors. That only earned one whiff last night. So that's the thing I'm kind of curious about, to see if that four-seamer can turn more into a elevated whiff pitch. And especially if you have that cutter that he's nailing down glove side. That itself is this amazing tandem of just, I can just put this here or there, and you don't even know inside to a lefty like which one it is. To a right-hander, you can mess around with it. Is it coming down? Is it not? There's a lot of things here, and I also think we haven't seen the curve and change yet. Like, that will show up because it's your MLB debut. I can do so much.
Yeah. I have in my minor league sample that I'm looking at, he threw the curve about half as much as a slider. So he threw it a fair amount, and he threw the changeup about that much too.
Yeah.
Stuff Plus didn't like the changeup, but that's a pretty small sample to be deciding the changeup is good or bad.
What did you think about the slider? So 86.
That was 120 stuff plus.
Yeah, we had a 5.6 PLV. 5.6 PLV in the minors.
Four to spin fastball, only 97 stuff plus. So that, that's basically right on average. So that,
which
that might not produce a bunch of that might not produce a bunch of
waves. That might have been a minor leaguer thing than a major league thing. I will say the foundation of the four seam and cutter and the command of that, setting up what we like as a slider that should be more, I don't know, overwhelming moving forward. Yeah, I like this kid. I'm a big fan of Daniel Zebulon and Matthews.
Yeah,
which is actually his name, by the way, if you didn't know that.
Returning to our earlier conversation, he has a slider.
Yeah.
He has a slider and he has command. Like his location plus numbers are through the roof, actually.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised that's to hear
what you're sort of reacting to when you're talking about, you know, him being able to put the fastball he wants to. Like,
it's,
I haven't seen location numbers this good very often. I mean, 120s, like, we don't have that usually.
Oh, wow. And this is a debut again. Like what? His his total PLV on all of his pitches. 508 on the fastball, which is above average, 591 on the slider, which is 99th percentile if it qualified. Cutter is a 516, which is actually only 41 PLV. Kind of interesting there. But 591 is just ridiculous. All right, so we like Zebby Matthews. Anything you want to add on Zebby? Add on Zebby.
Nope. No, I don't think he doesn't fit my list of somebody I need to give a slider to. I like that, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, I liked about him. I was wondering if it was as a sweeper or not, but I feel better now that it's not. I mean, this is a pretty platoon safe arsenal. Yeah, think about
definitely.
It. His slider is not the one that, you know, you don't throw to lefties. He's got a power cutter that looked really good against lefties. Mm-hmm. He may not even need the change. He may never really throw it a lot.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The other guy I really wanted to bring up is Matthew Boyd returning.
Boyd's boys.
Okay. The history of Matthew Boyd with us is there were times in the past that he flirted with throwing 94 and change. He said Tommy John. He's gone through a lot of things, and now he's back, and he came into this as a Guardians pitcher, and I got to say, it looked really weird seeing him in a Guardians uniform. It's such a stark difference from the Detroit Tigers jersey, and it just doesn't feel right. But whatever, fine, I'll get through this. What I saw was actually better locations than I expected, especially for your first game back from Tommy John. Four seamers were upstairs really well. Changeups and sliders were at the very bottom of the zone, not really underneath it much and a little bit wild. But he was never really like... I don't remember a scenario where Matthew Boyd had both a slider and a changeup working at the same time. There was a moment he had his changeup working, but then the slider was actually disappearing.
I think I'm always talking to him about his changeup. Yeah.
He's right. And the changeup looked good yesterday.
Got it. It's good.
Right. And it felt like watching it. No, this thing was actually doing what it's supposed to. The velocity at 92 and change is a little disappointing. I was hoping at least the adrenaline would show us higher velocity, and maybe it might be down in the future because the adrenaline goes away, and that was the adrenaline version. But I am curious about your take on Boyd and how he fits in with a lot of these injured pitchers coming back, with the current landscape, also with the with starting pitchers right now.
Yeah, I don't know. This was one of the more sort of horizontal, less vertical changeups he's thrown. I guess maybe a little bit more of a two seam movement. And I don't see necessarily, though, a big difference in it. He has been throwing it a little bit harder over time, but it's just an awkward changeup because it is neither a straight changeup. It's 12 mile an hour gap. And it's not a power changeup in terms of the movement profile. It moves less than his sinker horizontally. And only has 2 more inches of drop over his sinker, but it does bring up the fact that, you know, he does use four seam and sinker. And one of the hardest things, you know, to do is to figure out, you know, how to define a pitch off of which fastball.
Right.
So I guess if you define the changeup off of the four seam, you know, he has 2 inches more horizontal movement and 5 inches more drop than his four seam. So what would you be, I guess, as a righty, you wouldn't see too many sinkers. So you'd be defining that changeup off of the four seam.
Yeah, probably right. I mean,
in which case it comes off as like slightly below average, you know, just sort of number scouting.
Yeah, good stuff. I would think that I've seen this trend a little bit. I know we know it watching it because it's more gorgeous because of the camera angles of like the front hip sinker as a right-hander to a left-hander. But I've been seeing it actually a decent amount for these sinker guys to actually throw them inside to right-handers. A popular one, I think, to me is Eduardo Rodriguez, who actually had a decent strikeout rate called strikes with that pitch inside.
That's kind of a front door then.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, not back door. Yeah, absolutely right. Oh, man. Oh, man. I correct so many people on that one. You know, oh, my gosh.
Did you say back door? I don't even know if you said back door.
No, I said, I think it's a front hip. Maybe not.
Yeah, you said front hip and inside. I'm just saying for my edification, you're to visualize it.
Kind of front hip. Right. Well, it's front hip again. It's lefty throwing a front hip to a righty.
And it is something that I don't see as often because the camera angles aren't good for it. That's
we don't know that it is.
Right? It looks beautiful when a righty does it to a lefty.
It's only times you see it are in Houston because they are a lefty favored camera angle. And it's really good for Framber Valdez. And it's like you see the movement on Framber Valdez's sinker.
Yeah.
It's really nice for him.
Yeah. I think the default camera angle is almost like over the pitcher's right shoulder.
Yeah. And what needs to happen. We need to have two cameras. One for lefties, one for righties.
Oh, put me in charge. Give us access to the behind the home plate of YouTube.
Oh my gosh, the umpire cam?
Yes.
I mean, you know, let's be honest here. In like 5-10 years, we're going to be able to just put on our headsets and be at the stadium and just walk around it and sit wherever the heck we want to watch this game.
I mean, they have cameras everywhere. Like,
yeah,
you know, what we already are seeing is that AI is helping us switch from camera to camera and have the right zooms. There are these sort of AI coaches for the cameras that can kind of almost help produce the show where it can be like, oh, I know where that hit is going. You know, like that camera, you know?
Right. Follow the track of the ball off the bat. That kind of stuff.
And maybe even you could add in some sort of predictive analytics into the AI where you're like, oh, I think this is going to be a massive homer, you know, switch to behind home plate.
My gosh.
Massive homer from behind home plate or whatever. You know, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I kind of think they did that once already because the Reese Hines, you know, for some reason they flipped to behind home plate for one of his just massive homers.
Really?
Yeah. And it was just like, was it like a 2-0 count? And you just were like, you kind of like, well, let's flip real quick. Could be a homer.
We should tell the pitcher.
we should tell the pitcher.
Well, no, like the AI is going to change the camera on you, buddy.
Yeah, you shouldn't throw this pitch.
Oh, God. I wonder, actually, so come to think of it, if we're doing this whole pitch comp thing, I mean, this is just like obviously it's been thought about before. I haven't, but I'm sure many
show have. All of us with a pitch with the what he selected well, I mean, before
could,
he throws.
You could do that. You have, I mean, you have something
that's problematic for cheating purposes.
It's not even what I was getting at, though.
Oh, okay.
It was you have a AI in between. That it says like, are you sure about that, Matthew?
A little coach in the machine,
right? I mean, like you could program that.
Oh my God, it'd be so easy.
Well, you could just be like, all right, give me quickly. I need this information. Tell me a pitch com. Great, thank you so much. No, don't want
to
do it.
It'd be easy to program it, but what you're talking about would require at this point would require hacking into the pitch com to like put your. Put your voice.
Oh no! I want my AI to just be like aware of it and tell me it. I don't want someone else's voice in. I don't want a computer elsewhere. I want the thing there living with me as I input it, being like, I know the situation. No.
Oh, just like a little Fitbit that sits next to your thing, and you're about to put slider in. It's like, Martin Maldonado, please do not put slider in.
Yeah, right. Just don't this. I mean, even as simple as like,
AI says,
just go through these.
Change up.
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, we have the things that we flip over of like that have the notes of, okay, throw here, throw there. Uh-huh. Like, just do that. Just build into the thing. Be like, yeah, no, it's that guy. I just saw how he looked on that last one. It gets a whole limb generation. You know, I'm like, hate this, you leaned so in on that one. We don't want that.
Chris Bassett would hate this so much. Chris Bassett, like, you know, is like calling his own pitch, and the AI is like, no, Chris, don't call that. He's like, shut up. I want to throw no, Chris, that would be a bad pitch. No. And I could just see him like, take the pitch, come on. Just, yeah.
Please confirm with this captcha. And the thing is, though, you know, we're joking about this.
Yeah, somebody's
baseball is going to be around for a long time. These questions are going to.
This appear. Could at least be a player development tool that, you know, you kind of give your minor league pitchers to kind of coach them on the thought process of calling games. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, just let it happen in the Atlantic League, but then they get up to the majors like, wait, where's Fred? Fred, I need Fred.
Fred, tell me, is a slider a good idea?
Oh my gosh, that's when you're really true. And then
that's true. Like, maybe you don't want them depending on Fred.
Maybe that's what AAA is. Maybe AAA doesn't have it. And then, like, you're only allowed to have it in single A, double A.
That's, you know, when the training wheels come off.
Yeah.
And they're like, and you throw to ABS, also known as Clark. Clark's not as nice as Fred.
Oh man.
Now we're making
God. It's called one Kent then. Oh my gosh. This was a fun tangent here. I wanted to give you an opportunity. I just brought two pitchers to the table. And I'm curious if you had a certain guy that, like, you saw this past week, something's weirding you out, or you're just curious about, you want to bring up today.
No, I think I brought up most of my guys. I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta give you this opportunity every time because this is the core of what we do. Two pitchers, no subtitle. And
I guess, you know, my two pitchers were Birdsong and Holmes, but and Schwanbeck that I snuck in there.
What are you expecting from? Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing that was interesting about Birdsong was so the other day I took my son throwing. And he was super mad because he had forgotten his glove. And he really wanted us to drive back, but I didn't want to drive back to get the glove. So I made him pitch with my glove. And my glove is heavier. And so his command was off, but it was not necessarily off the way you'd think. One of the things that we think mechanically is if your front is too heavy, then you're going to open up and be behind, you know.
Sure, yep.
You know, on the throwing arm, and then you're going to throw to the arm side. You're going to be wild to the arm side. He was wild to the glove side. So, you know, and he's stomping around the mound, you know, just to being a 12-year-old. And I was like, hey, let this be a learning lesson. Let's try some different cues to, like, see how you can affect this. What happens when you are going glove side? What do you need to do? So I was like, let's do this cue. How about you pull in your front side hard? You know, because that's what I thought, is that he would be, you know, that the glove would be heavy and he would be like falling down on the front. So I was like, pull in your glove. Like, think about pulling in your glove when you throw. And that didn't work. And so I was like, all right, stick your glove in my eye. You know, before you pull it in, like, think about punching me in the eye with your glove before you throw.
Right.
And that sort of fixed it. And, and that was the lesson of the day for us was, you know, first of all, mound composure, like, come on, like, you gotta, they're going to be bashing your head in some days.
Yeah.
You know, and you gotta figure out how to not cry on the mound, literally, you know, as kids, you know. And then the second part was, like, you know, run through cues. And so I was talking to Birdsong, and it was one of those things where I was like, I don't want to say it, but we both know it, like, you have bad fastball command. So I didn't know how to get there, and then he just said it. He's like, I know, I spray the fastball.
Like, why?
Okay. And he said the reason why he has better slider command is that you emphasize being out in front on sliders and breaking balls. And so he says he gets out in front and he gets to the right release place. And that's why he can replicate in sliders and curveballs well. And said he doesn't get to that place with fastballs. He opens up and he sprays it, you know? And so, he said he's done two things. Well, one thing is the same thing as my son, which is cycle through cues. And I think the cue that he said has been working a little bit for him is being tight in the front. And then mm-hmm. the other way that you can help a person be tight in the front is put a weighted ball in their glove as they're pitching and sort of emphasize that feeling of sort of pulling through and like make that front arm stronger, even like maybe you need to be kind of stronger and rip through so that you get the front arm out there in time and you're not behind and you're spraying the ball. So he's aware of it. And some of this coaching is happening at the major league level. Some of it happened at the minor league level. It's at 97. It is one of those things where it doesn't have great shape though. So he could, what could happen is his command of it could get better as he gets older and he just sort of knows himself better.
Right.
But then the velo might be coming down the same time. So he just may never have a good fastball.
Yeah, sure.
he may have slightly better command as the shape gets slightly worse or the velo gets
worse. There's also spin efficiency, right? And arm path changes spin efficiency a lot. Mm. So just how on top of it you are or not. I do see a world where his arm path does change a little for the fastball to make sure that's not as wild. If you're opening up so much, it does drag your arm a little differently.
Yeah.
If you're staying straighter, then you are actually going to get more on top of it.
So you think that could, you know, if he does those things, it could possible. Actually affect the shape a little bit.
It's sometimes that this has happened. I've seen it like both kind of tweak together.
Well, we saw like, Mackenzie Gore change something about, you know, where he stood on the mound and that changed his hips and that changed movement on a lot of different pitches without having to do pitch design. He wasn't doing the pitch design. He was cleaning up the mechanics.
The other aspect actually of what I thought the story you were telling about your son was going to go, and it might actually be the answer, is there are two ways to do it. You were talking about a lot about the end of it with a glove, but let's see. I've got the official pitcher list edition, Rawlings Pro Preferred pitcher list Nick Pollock glove. It's about taking it out of the glove too. So if you have a different glove, sometimes it feels different and takes longer or shorter. So if you have
a certain glove, breaking of the hands, coming out
and where you are at certain points, you're talking about cues, you're talking about like, you know, here, you know, extending out, coming closer. Sure. But it's also how fast is this arm getting to where it needs to?
We could have tried as a different cue, take the ball out of the glove faster.
Taking a ball first and do everything like this already and do the whole thing like that, you know, and see if that would change it, which is awkward and weird and generally doesn't. But something to be thinking about is like, I changed where my hands were. My coach made me do it so that to help against guys in the stretch, bring it down to my waist, because then I have a shorter arm circle, which I hated. I absolutely hated it, you know. But there are a lot of things you can do with that too. Yeah.
And tying it back to the original thing, was there a pitch you just couldn't throw?
Oh yeah. I mean, again, going back to like index finger stuff, I was just really bad at change ups, circle changes, because it's ring finger. Mm-hmm. I don't want to throw with this. I have to throw everything with my index finger. Mm-hmm. Sliders, I only really started to learn what a slider was my junior year. And I already had my curveball, which was worse than what it was in high school. But
I mean, it is interesting. We're like, if you want to be in the pros, you got to have a slider. And then you tell everybody under 12, you can't throw a slider.
I know.
And then you have this weird thing where like, is the idea for all these kids that at 14, they learn the pitch that'll make them a major leaguer?
Yeah, right. it's like you need the foundations without it. I will say that if you go at it from, I need to throw a baseball and not from a fastball, but from a slider, I do think that's not as healthy, because I think the best sliders are the ones that are built on the foundation of a fastball. That is how you think of it and release it. If you think of that, you're throwing a slider. A lot of guys are like this, like a Zach Gallen told me about his slider, saying I call it a cutter, but it's a slider, because I need to think it's a cutter and not a slider. I need to make sure that I'm staying straight behind it all the way, like it's a fastball, like you would with a cutter. If I think it's a slider, then I'm going to open up too much and supinate too much, right? You have to. Yeah. I think those are the best ones. The Jabba Chamberlain one is the classic gyro slider to me, and that is just, he's throwing it straight over. He's just doing everything and straight down, boom. You know, that's a fastball that happens to be a slider, right? I think you start that way.
Like Nolan and Morton haven't learned sliders, you know? Like
I think it's their arm action.
I'm listening to you. Is their arm action? I'm listening to you and I'm like, they've got to be front tube finger dominant. They can, yeah. they can
pronate. So with that, if you can still hear me, it's like curveball comes out like this. However, they are throwing from three quarters.
Yeah.
And they're coming around it like that, essentially. They're coming around like this, right? You do that with a slider, and you're already coming across it too much.
So it's just
you're
not a really, worse curveball?
You're not able to just go like this if you're coming across like that, right? Sorry for everybody listening on the podcast. You got to go watch the video. But so it makes sense for me. It was actually a struggle that I had at first, and I had a fine one by the end of it, but I never really felt like I was getting straight out and down on it on the other side. That's why you have guys like Nola and Morden. They typically go the Clark Schmidt route, the sweeper, because you're on the side of it more and instead of getting on top of it, right? So those that have like high IVB four seamers, it's why it's a Severino thing. High IVB four seamers means you're on top.
And that means you're then you throw a good slider up.
Right, and then it's more north-south. Yeah. So that's why I'm generally like, oh, sweeper's a main thing. I'm probably not a great fastball too. And then all of a sudden the whole thing cascades, right?
I mean, that's the sweeper is like kind of the sinker slider package. Is that what I think?
Right.
I think you're a sinker sweeper guy.
Yeah. So
that's kind of why. How good your cutter and changeup are, because if you don't have really good cutter and changeup, you're Hayden Wisniewski.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then and then the last thing I want to mention with Hayden, what's interesting about Hayden, you're talking about more about opening up. And when I watch him, it's more about just being too north. Like just everything is just way up. It's not always missing arm zone? Side. No. It's like a foot above a lot. There's so many misses with Hayden. They're just like,
whoa. Oh, okay.
All the way up there, right? And it's very rare to see him. I mean, I could be wrong. But
I don't know what mechanically you're doing when you miss up but over the zone. It's
over the plate, and I mean it's the same thing. It just means that he's a north south guy. He's just tilting like this,
early or something. Or?
He's not. Well, just think of it this way: if you are coming at it like this, like a diagonal, right, 45 degree angle, when you miss too early, it's going to go both up. You know, both X and Y axis. Mm-hmm. But if you're only Y axis and you're over the plate already and you miss, it's going to be just up. Right, Birdsong is very much of a. I think he is more north south. And I mean, look at the curve. The curve is his best thing, and that thing is not like a big, wide, horizontal pitch. That's over the top guy. That's a slider. That's a gyro one, right? So my instinct is like, oh, you just gotta get your arm out sooner.
Yeah,
you gotta like don't the end.
Maybe you could clean up something in the back, like a shorter.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about the glove stuff. That was a transition. Yeah. You gotta get the arm out sooner. Mm-hmm. That's my idea. And sometimes when you see that, like watch him do the whole Giolito shift. The elbow like straight out. Up.
Yeah,
you know, honestly, that could be it for Birdsong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There are things like that get me kind of intrigued, because when you're not missing as much east-west, I feel like, oh, well, that's a much easier thing to figure
Glass
out.
Glass now, right? It's like, oh, yeah. He's up-down. You know, let's just give him one target. Although I was watching for targets. Was it Harrison? Who was I watching? They gave him one target. Oh, Joe Boyle.
Why? I'm shocked. He actually hit him. It was a 62% zone rate for Joe Boyle.
He's doing the one target.
Yeah, but like he hit everything. It.
No, I mean, oh my God.
On his fastball, not his slider. 52% strike rate on the slider, 62% zone rate on the fastball. I'm just saying.
That's good. Yeah, so the target for the fastball, but the target was the same for the fastball and the slider.
Yeah, right.
And the fastball was actually, the fastball, he dotted some. Like it looked okay.
Well, down the middle, right?
Yeah. The slider, like people doubt that pitchers miss by 13 inches. They should watch that start, because he was missing by like 28 inches.
Oh my gosh, it's so much.
The target was high and away for lefties.
Yeah.
That was the one target. And he would yank sliders that almost hit the left-hander in the foot.
Oh my gosh.
And you're like, are you really using that target, or are you just not even using any target?
Yeah, there's nothing here.
I photoshopped him in the Wild Thing jacket and shirt.
Oh, nice.
And glasses. And,
oh, that's amazing.
I can't help but like, I'm fascinated by Joe Boyle starts. I can't say that I love watching them. They're a little bit painful, but like, I'm fascinated by the idea. So if you, Birdsong is a better example of this, where like, here's got a good slider. He's got good velo. there's something that I like. I would love to take him if we were talking like fantasy. I'd love to take him late in the draft. You know, I'd love to, you know, as a pitcher.
You think what you're saying is that you do see someone who could also make some tweak with the fastball that actually is tangible.
As a pitching coach,
more so than another command guy. Totally with you there, especially considering the curveball has become the number two pitch for him. Really, the number one, I should say.
It's getting better.
For one game actually was there for him. Since that first Colorado game, so it's like
Boyle might be a coach killer.
he's a reliever. Like, there's no question in my head that Joe Boyle's a reliever. But that I think that's gotta end it for this week. You know, what are you working on right now?
What do we got? I've got a piece up today where we picked the 2028 Olympic team.
Oh my gosh,
we actually had some projections, Kersey, Dan Zaborski, so we had a little fun with it. And a piece going up tomorrow about what the secret sauce is analytically behind the Orioles hitters. So got some VBA talk in there.
Nice.
VBA, the IVB of hitters.
Love it. For us, I mean, guys, you can watch this on YouTube as well, of course, with Fireside Chat and On the Corner too. So go check those out on YouTube. But that is going to do it for this episode of The Craft. Special thanks to Ian Osaris for being such a wonderful guest today. My name is Nick Pollock, and we'll talk about The Craft of Pitching again next week.